welcome to stick around. We'll converse with the poets a little bit. Okay.
Respond to a few questions, or maybe they even have questions or conversation for one another. I mean, that's something that can always happen. But I do want to ask about Philly John, because I went off and read an essay in linguistics about the word, because that's what happens when you look it up online. It's like things pop up. But you want to tell us about that?
It's just like, I guess, a colloquial term. Like, yeah. From Philly, you just say John. John is the noun.
Yeah,
place and
but it can
place
like
person.
Any
yeah, it could be a place, it could be a thing, like an object. It's like really broad.
Yeah.
So you can be like, oh, I'm gonna go pick up the straw from the store or whatever, and it's like very casual.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's always like funny hearing people from like not from Philly say it, because they like put so much stress on the word John, where it's like you don't put that much stress, you know? Okay. It's just like John. It's just, yeah.
Hango, you grew up here.
Mm-hmm. From the city. So I use words like Maney.
Maney.
Maney. Is that, people know what Maney is? Maney, it's just Maney.
It's
crazy, but modified, you know. like crazy, but can have respect, you know. So some could be Maney, could be crazy, but that does not mean dismissible, you know.
Okay.
But it depending on how you say it, you know, it's appropriate. Everybody incorporate that.
Is anybody can ask a question?
Jasmine, mm-hmm. When you said someone's dead already, was that a reference to his book?
Yes. It was a reference to Tonga's book. Actually, it's like So I was living in the Bay for like 3 months, and I moved here in June. And I had read some of Tonga's poetry like right as I was like leaving New York and like coming to the Bay. And I like had got the book, and I was like, holy shit. And it was really funny, because it's like a lot of the book I was like, damn, why didn't I write that? But it's like a good, healthy, like.
I appreciate it. Likewise, you have still lines I would like to steal.
We should just probably steal each other.
Right, we should just, we can become a collective.
Yeah. Have no name.
Right, exactly, you know.
So there's a mic in the audience. If someone wants to ask a question, Max here will hand you a mic. So that it can get recorded for the recording, you know. So.
Thank you, Steve.
Yeah, someone over there has a question.
So, Tongo, I noticed you brought up cigarettes a lot in your pieces you read. Why is that?
Man, you know, I quit. But they will always be with me. The end.
Tongo, what's the writing process like when you do a poem? Do you like set out, I mean, you immediately know what you're going to write about, or is it just free flow?
No, I just kind of start with a line that's kind of musical to me or is interesting to me, or I will just start with anything I can get my hands on, or I will take something I am feeling and give it to something else. All type of little tricks just to get one line down, and then I just kind of hang on for dear life, you know, and write for as long as I can. you know, if you write, I've said this before, but if you write for 2 hours a day, it gets rough, but you will, you know, your growth will be exponential. And a lot of the Sun Was Dead Already was literally written with the timer on. And I would be falling asleep over the page, and like, but is this over yet? But, you know, from about midnight to 2 a.m, you know, write whenever you want though. But, yeah. But it's just putting in that time, because it really has kind of like a life of its own, your craft. Or has a, what do you call it? It has an upbringing of its own, you know, so that will only happen the more time you give it.
So my question is for Tongo too. Oration and the way you presented your pieces was a big part of it, and that's, I really enjoyed that. Mm-hmm. When you write it, do you specifically make like line breaks and punctuations, or do you just write it and then you just present it however?
Right.
Okay.
Because it'll be different. This could be completely different next time I say these poems, you know. So I kind of learned that watching actors, they'll play a line different night to night. You know, you watch a dancer who tends to do the same moves, but will kind of vary them, you know. According to the music, then you also there's always kind of the trick is kind of just to keep running conversations going with yourself, both in the writing and in performing or anything you're doing. You know, that's kind of the dialectic, or as many dialectics as you can pull off, will give you kind of like an evolution. Yeah. But when I'm writing, though, I'm really just writing to kill people on paper. For real. Like a headhunter. I want you to look at, just like how she said, that's the exact effect I want. I want somebody to be like, fuck. For real. Right.
Okay, so I
don't think this is
a lie. It is.
Oh,
it is? Yeah. Okay. So this is for Tongo. You were.
What is all this patronage?
So you like work and help out and teach in juvenile detention centers, correct?
Yes.
So will you speak to what that experience is like as far as writing goes and the process of working through with people that are in that sort of a situation?
You know, I've actually, as of late, completely lost the stomach for it. I probably started probably about 15 years ago, right? And what sustained me was the belief that it was a part of the movement process. So when I would go in and teach writing, it'd be like writing prompts generated by Assata Shakur quotes and George Jackson quotes, and there would be all of this, you know, there'd be just as much discussion as there was writing. So it was kind of a way to sneak political education into jails under the guise of arts-based education. But there comes a point where you just see, regardless of the magical moments or the revolutionary moments you have in the classroom, that moment is obliterated by the institutional reality in which that moment takes place. And so you get to a point where we have to organize something outside of the system, you know, or even within the system that does not end with just a class, you know. In order to really, you know, if I'm gonna call myself somebody that tries to make revolutionary change. Now, that's not to say that all this time was wasted. Because what you find too, when you enter a revolutionary process, it's kind of the same skills. It's just the difference is you're not you're refusing to be alienated from your work, because you are just as alienated from your work as somebody who punches some clock, some blue collar type of situation, or even worse in the planet, you know what I mean, all the way down to the slavery. So you as a student, or whatever, you know, however, wherever your life leads you, as long as you are getting a check cut, funded, or in some type of way, that your labor is taken from you. So when you get in a revolutionary process, you really do the same work, but it's just part of a structure now in which it is fully you. So it's like you put together a people's structure, you know, that type of thing. So it's almost a seamless switch, you know.
This is a question for both of you. Where do you guys tend to get your inspiration from? If there's one thing that you really like to write about, or what really makes you want to write?
I don't really give a shit. okay. I've said it before, and it is a cliche now. But it's really more the art of noticing poetry than writing it. So, you know, looking around this room, there's probably 50 details I can make some music out of. Or zoom in, if I zoom in on it, it says something about the bigger picture. You know what I mean? So you know, what I'm inspired right now by is a conversation about alienation, you know what I mean? So I would probably look at y'all faces, or when I go home or something, and I reimagine this moment. And if I need this moment to write a poem, I will put together an image that both reflects something that's literally happening, or I might even manufacture a small image, you know what I mean? But put it in the context of the bigger picture, you know? I might put all of your faces upside down or something. I don't know. But I would say, look, I could be like this, faces upside down in a building that's sideways. I don't know. You know what I mean? But this building going sideways, or this campus going sideways, or a city going sideways, you know, or a city, or your face is just how it is, but the building is upside down. These type of things, within it is the implication of both a smaller and a bigger picture. And then you really get slick, you might even be able to pull three layers out, you know, within one line. But I just go with whatever I can get my hands on.
I kind of do a thing where I blend like both the past and the present and like make it something. Like, I don't know. Like, my past is like doing like mostly like political work. So now, like, being a poet is kind of like blending like the two, where it's kind of like weird, because it's like I've known myself as like that kind of person, and now I'm like a different person, and people know me as a different person now, where it's like they don't say, oh, Jasmine, like, you know, Jasmine did like this and this, like in this like political group or whatever. It's like Jasmine like wrote this or whatever. So it's kind of like a, I don't know. Like, poems for me are like kind of like a existential kind of mission, where it's totally like, I don't know, I kind of feel like a wandering monk or whatever, just like seeking like for something, like some kind of meaning, like everywhere. Like, yeah, I would like probably like do something with this room, but also it would be like an internal dialogue that's happening, like as something maybe happen or maybe not happening. And then also like kind of coming out of like a communist tradition, it's like everything is super relational. So like within like the way that like my poems like are structured, it's all about relationships. It's all about like could be my relationship to like, you know, like to a person that I see on the street where, you know, trying to like figure out like why like we are the way we are and like why are we so like, I don't know, going through this like same like weird world where it's like this like the stuff can't like be natural. It's like something that's like so recent, like in this moment of capital, you know? So it's all a like existential thing. Or like I think sometimes I can be like in Buddhist tradition, like they have this thing called like a hungry ghost, where like a hungry ghost, like if you die and you like get decapitated, like you have to wander the earth forever and like you have to like seek your head. And I feel like I'm just seeking my head in like poetry. So yeah.
For Jasmine, you talked about psychosis.
Mm-hmm.
Were you working at New York with psychosis or something?
Yeah, so.
Can you talk to me more about that?
Yeah, so before I was working as a case manager in a mental health facility and worked with people that had like severe like mental illness, like Axis 1 diagnoses, like bipolar, schizophrenia, and like, I don't know. Like when you work in that kind of environment, like you definitely see like how there's like a different way of like interpreting like reality. But also in like a way where it's like really kind of basic like interpretations of reality, where it's like it's really simple for a person that's like schizophrenic to like, that's diagnosed with schizophrenia to be like, you know what, like my like benefits are getting cut. I know I'm gonna have to like try to like make it on this little bit of money that I'm already getting, but it's already getting cut, you know, like kind of that, like, I don't know, like, yeah. So I did that. Yeah, I worked in that field.
Has it like influenced your poetry or your writing?
Yeah.
So I noticed that both you, the question for both of you, by the way, had pretty striking images. And I just was really wondering, when you guys started poetry, were you just able to get these images out? Did you have to practice in some way? Do you have a method that you use to get to these images? What is your personal way of getting that striking moment that really catches the audience the way you guys both did?
Fact is like much more stranger than fiction, I think. So it's like some of the images that like appear in like my poetry is just like stuff that like I've actually like seen, or like stuff where I'm like, I'll like exaggerate it and be like, you know, is this actually what I saw or like is it not? Like it's kind of like when I'm building like a scene or an image, it's always like kind of like an interrogation of like what is the truth and like what is false. And I kind of don't care about what's true. Like I think the interesting thing is the stuff that is like, you know, that falls in between the lines where it's like, oh, like, I don't know, it's kind of like, I don't know, surreal in a way, but also not surreal, like trying to like play on that like banal kind of like thing that you see, but that can be like super like strange and like fantastic. So yeah.
And I think you can also at the same time you can show something's true face with an image, or what, you know, what people are trying to hide, what the society is trying to hide. You know, you can kind of undo these these social contracts, and also for the sake of, you know, kind of personifying things, you need an image. But I don't know, you know, people tell me it's all mine, it's all image heavy. And I thought we were supposed to be writing metaphors. I don't know, you know what I mean? But I think it's again, man, just you know, keep that conversation running with yourself, you know. And really, so really, whatever you do to get to an image, that should eventually become a parlor trick, you know. And then you run into something else, another kind of strategy that might blow your mind or you really are proud of, and then you allow that to become a parlor trick, and on and on and on, you know. So it's kind of like a praxis thing, you know. Yeah. I probably got a name for it, though.
I've just been sitting here really trying to formulate how I want to ask this. I feel like it's still a little half-baked, but it's a question for both of you. I think what is really profound about what both of you create is, are these double entendres that you use in your work, these double meanings where you can couple positive and, you know, very negative messages together to say that perhaps your presence on Earth could be more influential as a ghost, or that you are what could be typically thought of as something positive, an angel, bringing way for change. And, you know, it just makes me wonder, you know, to be able to rationalize a lot of what you're feeling. I mean, learning a bit more about your past, I can appreciate why you may feel the way that you do and how it affects your writing and, you know, whether it be light or dark. Do you, in the spirit of revolution, like you say, is it perhaps both of your hope to see revolution reach a certain resolution? Or are you just trying to keep revolution going?
Revolution is the resolution. It's like, I think it's totally possible to get to that point, you know? It's like, ultimately, I don't know, it's like really inspiring. Like, different inspiring things are, like, have been happening. Like, you know, the Ferguson and Baltimore, like, riots happen in our lifetime. That's, like, pretty sick. And, like, you know, there's about to be a national prison strike, you know, that's happening tomorrow. And there's going to be a march in Oakland, like, on the 10th.
North Dakota folks, too.
Yeah, and the North Dakota, like, thing that's happening where, like, people, it's, like, the largest indigenous, like, demonstration that's happening, you know, and that's happening in our lifetime. Like, you know, I don't think that, like, in the moment, like, probably, like, we don't, like, really appreciate it, like, to be like, oh, this is, like, you know, just things that are happening. But it's like, you know, the process to, like, revolution is something where it's like, I don't know, I'm really optimistic about it, I think. Like, yeah, I feel like we can't, like, see it now, but, like, I think it's, like, coming for us. Like, whether or not it's coming, like, 5 years from now or, like, 50 years from now, like, when we're old, like, you know. I don't know, yeah.
And then I think, man, people just get to a point where it's just like, man, well, the whole prison is absurd. Like, getting back to, you know, like, the first question, you know, that's one of the things that strike you, like, wow, I'm really in somebody's fantasy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, somebody was like, I know what we can do with them. Mm-hmm. And here we are. It's really absurd. So people go from, you know, from this kind of, like, you know, from a righteous reaction, or a rush to defend something, or a rush to, you know, to do something, to, you know what? This whole system is absurd. Now we have to set our minds to doing something about that. Mm-hmm. And revolution never ends, because even once you've taken power away from a ruling class, now the revolution continues in the spirit of making sure that people remain with the power and people take care of each other, and the earth gets taken care of, mm-hmm. you know. So it's a never-ending, it's a never-ending process. And we definitely in a time that, you know, I think it is time now to take this energy and give it a clearer ideology, clearer analysis, clearer organization, and get to a, you know, all right, that is my mother, who still doesn't know how to whisper, you know what I'm saying? But I will leave it at that.
Well said. Thank you, Bob.
Yeah.
You've both been very generous, so I think unless somebody has one over here. Yeah.
Thank you guys both so much for sharing your stories with us. I'm wondering how do you two want to be remembered as contributing to the revolution?
I don't know. Well, goal is to not really be significant in it, right? Like, everybody,
that was
like,
the ice cold. Yes, that is all we have to say. back to our collective. Because I will no longer be Tongo and she will no longer be Jasmine. We are now the collective.